seconds. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket of will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Got a big local high school basketball game coming up tonight. Welcome to a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Biggest game of the year as far as high school basketball is concerned. And it involves the Carbon Lady Dinos and the Emory Lady Spartans. Going to be sharing the basketball court tonight in Castle Dale. Just how big is this game? Well, entering tonight, Carbon number 2, Emory number 3. That's in the RPI. The RPI has been a little bit odd. It's been very fluid. Number 1 team right now is South Sevier, who, by the way, Carbon beat. Carbon is number 2, who, by the way, Emory beat. Emory's number 3, who South Sevier beat. See the way this is working out? It's been fascinating. Region 12 for girls basketball has just been so entertaining this year. I'm looking forward to the call tonight. Live coverage will begin at around 6:20, and then a tip-off will follow at 7 p.m. In fact, we're going to preview tonight's game on the show. We're going to be joined by Coach Lynn Tuttle. He's going to join us next segment. We'll talk about the team's big victory this past Tuesday as they earned a win over San Juan, and then we'll talk about tonight's game against Carbon. We talked to Coach Ted Bianco last Friday. Hopefully we'll be able to catch up with Coach Bianco tonight at the contest. I'm looking forward to it. Again, you can listen to it here on KOAL. You can listen to it on our sister station, KRPX, and you can also listen online at castlecountryradio.com. There's no reason to miss any of the action tonight. That game taking place at the Spartan Center in Castle Dale. Let's move over to the national sports headlines. The story that caught my eye today, it's Trevor Bauer. And we had this long conversation yesterday about the Colorado Rockies and the big move of Nolan Arenado. The biggest domino to fall now would be Trevor Bauer, the reigning NL Cy Young. And according to Bauer's agent, it's now down to two teams. And it appears that Bauer will be sticking in the National League. According to CBS and John Heyman of Major League Baseball Network, the Mets are engaged in talks with Bauer, and they expect to hear an answer within the next day or so. And the other team is the Los Angeles Dodgers. So he'd be sticking in the National League. Bauer's agent, Rachel Luba, did tweet it was down to two, and that was all she put. So again, this report coming in from John Heyman and also CBS. Bauer, who again was a Cy Young winner last year with the Reds, he went 5-4, but he had a 1.70 ERA. That's ridiculous when you think about it. He had a 0.7 whip. He had 100 strikeouts, 2 complete games, 2 shutouts, and only 16 unintentional walks. He did all that in 73 innings. And that was for the Cincinnati Reds, who were not very good. And they snuck into the playoffs. I get it. But it wasn't as if that team was great. He was an all-star. And he's also finished 6th in the AL Cy Young voting going back to 2018. I mean, he's the real deal. This is a very, very big piece. And when you look at the ramifications of the two teams, you start with the New York Mets. If they were to grab Bauer, they would be able to pair him along with Jacob deGrom and Marcus Stroman, Carlos Carrasco, and Noah Syndergaard eventually, because he's returning from Tommy John surgery last spring. But that is a lights-out rotation. And the Mets already one of the big winners this offseason in landing Francisco Lindor. And so if they find a way to grab Trevor Bauer, like as a Mets fan, if you're a Mets fan, you probably couldn't have envisioned an even remotely better offseason than landing Lindor and Bauer and grabbing Bauer in free agency. And by the way, the terms, it sounds as if it would be long-term with New York, it would be short-term with LA. Now we can look at the Dodgers. And I think that this is a piece that LA has been waiting to see how it falls for a while, because the biggest free agent that the Dodgers have returning from last year, that would be Justin Turner. And he hasn't signed yet. Justin Turner is still a free agent. Doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of momentum anywhere else other than LA. And the Dodgers and Turner are just taking their time. This may be the piece that decides the length of Turner's contract, maybe the amount of Turner's contract, especially in 2021, when 2020 did not provide a whole lot of revenue for anyone in the league. But envision this. If Bauer was to pass on the Mets and he was to join the Dodgers, he would be joining Walker Buehler, Clayton Kershaw, Julio Urias, Dustin May, and David Price. And you could sort that group however you want. Because the Dodgers won a World Series championship last year without David Price, who was a part of the Mookie Betts deal, and he opted out. I mean, you look at the depth, and that's what the Dodgers do. They load up depth-wise. That's what Andrew Friedman has always done. If you add Bauer on a short-term deal, 1, 2, 3 years at the absolute most, I mean, look, this right there would be the ultimate smack in the face to anything that the Padres did this offseason. You got Yu Darvish? That's great. That's great. The defending World Series champions added Trevor Bauer. Now, if they don't add Bauer and he does go to the Mets, things get interesting in the National League. Things get really interesting in the National League. Because then you would have the Braves, who I'm really high on, the Mets, who may have the top rotation in Major League Baseball if they were to land Bauer, the Dodgers, the Padres, the Cardinals are going to be in the mix. If he decides to go to the Mets, I just look at this and say, wow, National League is going to be a lot of fun. So that's definitely a story to monitor. Again, that's the next big domino to fall in Major League Baseball. Where does the reigning Cy Young winner go? Looks like it's the Mets or the Dodgers. Let's move over to the NBA. This was a fun topic, an interesting topic, and I can kind of relate this to the local sports front. Sacramento Kings guard De'Aaron Fox is not in support of the NBA having an All-Star game. He said, quote, "It's stupid." That was his quote. It's stupid. The NBA and the Players Association right now are working towards an agreement for an All-Star game that would take place March 7th, so a month from today in Atlanta. And De'Aaron Fox said, "If I'm going to be brutally honest, I think it's stupid," end quote. "If we have to wear a mask and do all this for a regular game, what's the point of bringing the All-Star game back?" He's 100% correct. I mean, I enjoyed the All-Star game last year. They had the tribute to Kobe. They renamed the MVP award the Kobe Bryant All-Star Award. I loved everything that they did. They changed the format to where they went to points instead of time, and I thought it worked. But when you look at the way teams have fallen behind in games played, like the Wizards went 2 weeks without playing a game. And just looking at the standings right now, the Wizards are still behind in that category. They're 5-13. If I'm not mistaken, they are the only team of the Eastern Conference that has not played 20 games. They went a long time without playing basketball. And you look at the Western Conference, the Grizzlies are at 9-7. They had a stretch where they didn't play for a really long time, and I believe they're the only team of the Western Conference that hasn't played 20 games. The league is not a bubble, so does it really make sense, with all the protocols that have been put in place, to take the top players and have an exhibition game that means absolutely nothing? It just doesn't to me. And I said I could relate this on the local level, and I can. Because after the play-in round of the state basketball tournament for 3A, all teams were supposed to meet at USU Eastern, all remaining teams. Well, you can't do that. And the board, they got together, they voted that down, now it's home sites. And that makes absolute perfect sense, right? I mean, if you're a parent, teacher, coach, media member, you see the protocols, you know what you got to go through. So to put everyone in one building, it just doesn't make sense to do that. Same concept with the NBA. You want to know what the difference is? We're talking about a billion-dollar league. That's the biggest difference. You can't have an All-Star game. You can't do that. We'll take a look at the schedule in the NBA tonight. The Utah Jazz, they'll be making their return to the court. Utah at 16-5, best record in the Western Conference. They take on the Atlanta Hawks at 5:30. Also coming up at 5:30 tonight, we get Golden State at Dallas. That game is on TNT. Portland will travel to meet the Philadelphia 76ers at 6 p.m. We get Houston and Memphis at 7. And then in the nightcap tonight, it's the Lakers and the Nuggets. Tip-off for this game is set for 8:30 p.m. Fun show lined up. We'll give you the local sports recap. Had a lot of high school basketball last night. Carbon and Grand on the boys' side of the court. They went down in a thriller. Grand picked up a one-point win. You can get that recap at CastleCountryRadio.com right now. Plus, we'll recap it here in just a moment. Also, Emory falling at home to San Juan. We'll give you the recap on everything that happened there. We're going to be joined by Coach Lynn Tuttle. NFL Super Bowl prop bets. Prop betting's a lot of fun, right? It's fun, especially for those who are casual, lighthearted fans. I think it's even fun for really diehard NFL fans. I think prop bets are a lot of fun. We'll take a look at some of the top prop bets for Super Bowl 55 and a couple of storylines trickling around, including the Dallas Cowboys quarterback situation. We had Carson Palmer sound off on that yesterday. A lot of people on social media weren't too happy with what he had to say. We'll look at that as well. It's all coming up on this edition of Drive Time Sports. We're back right after this.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Coming up tonight, right here on KLAL, 107.3 FM, 750 AM, and also KRPX 95.3 The Peak. We have more high school basketball, the Carbon Lady Dinos and the Emory Lady Spartans. It's a big, big showdown tonight as they go toe-to-toe at Emory High School. Carbon right now ranked number 2 in the state, Emory number 3. Emory won the first meeting between the two schools just a few weeks back, and now tonight, really, the winner of tonight's game could end up being the number 1 team in the RPI. Joining us right now to break down tonight's game and also talk about Tuesday's victory for Emory, we have head coach Lynn Tuttle over the phone right now. Coach, a pleasure. Thank you.
You bet, Jordan.
Coach, I know it's a big game tonight. We're talking about Carbon and Emory Part 2, and the stakes were high the last time these two teams met. Now that things have kind of played out and the RPI is not as fluid as it once was, we have number 2, number 3 going toe-to-toe tonight, and honestly, the winner could very easily jump ahead and take over the number 1 spot.
Yeah, we can. If we win, Carbon there, I guess South Sevier sitting at the top. Mm-hmm. That's our only loss in region to South Sevier. Carbon split with them, so it's a big game for us. If by chance we can get tonight, it'll be interesting to see what happens with that RPI. But definitely a game we both need if we want to have a chance to finish in that top spot for sure.
Yeah, definitely, Coach. It's a good spot to be in. And so as far as the way things have played out at this point in time, I know since the last time we've talked, there's been one loss, but the girls really did respond in a pretty massive way, including picking up a win over San Juan. And so over the last 2 weeks, as you get to a point where you say, okay, this is what it is, how do you feel the team has progressed?
I think we're doing okay. We went down to South Sevier, dropped that game. Didn't have a very good game, I didn't feel like. However, I mean, give credit to South Sevier. They forced us to play that way the first three quarters. But bouncing back, we come back and get another big win against Richfield and then travel to San Juan Tuesday night. And it's always a question of how you're going to respond after that bus ride and being on their home floor. But it's good to see the girls. They played a great ball game. And it seems like as of lately, it's different girls every other night that's stepping up and kind of packing the load. So it's encouraging to see that, we're not having to rely on one girl or two girls each and every night. It seems like they're all stepping up when needed, and it's different girls that's kind of carrying the load in some of the games now.
Well, we'll talk about the game this week, Coach, this past Tuesday. It's a win over San Juan, and I remember at the beginning of the year you and I talking about, kind of the sour taste in the girls' mouths about the way the season came to an end last year to San Juan. Boy, there was no doubt in both games. I mean, it was a pretty comfortable victory.
Yeah, you got to kind of have a reason or something for more, I guess, to have a reason to show up. The bad taste in our mouth, they knocked us out last year over at the BDAC. So as far as having a reason to show up and play hard, it was pretty easy to come up with one against San Juan. When they come to our place, that was our first meeting after that.
game that they knocked us out, and we played exceptionally well. And then went down there, and it seems like we had their number again right from the get-go. Things went our way.
You always worry about that game down in Blanding. We've seen some really strange things happen in that gym, be it boys or girls, over the last 10 or so years. And I mean, all in all, the girls came out focused, Coach. There was really never a doubt from the very beginning. I mean, this team got off to a hot start. You guys outscored them, if I remember right, what, 44-17, I believe is what it was at the end of the first half?
That's what it was, 44-17. We come out shooting the ball well, moved the ball well, got open shots. San Juan kind of done something uncharacteristic of them. They come out and try to man us up, and we definitely have the size advantage when they try doing that to us. So it's a game that we kind of beat them up down low early, and then it opened up to the outside shooting, and we had some girls catch fire outside.
Yeah, and Coach, I'm sure a lot of that is a direct correlation to what Tatum Tanner can now do for you guys in the post. She finishes this game with 20 points. And I know Bailey Jacobson scores 19, but I have to believe that there is a correlation there, right? I mean, the inside being so dominant, really opening up the perimeter.
Absolutely. Yeah, Tatum started beating them up down low, and it opened it up for Bailey and the other shooters outside. They had to kind of make a decision, are they going to pack it in or cover the outside shooting, and they was trying to pack it in on Tatum a little bit, and therefore Bailey found some open seams and shot the ball well and finished well at the rim, too, when she went inside.
I know that Tatum is dealing with a pretty significant knee injury. You and I have had conversations about trying to get her back in playing shape. And, Coach, what type of progress has she made now over the last couple of weeks?
You know, weekly I see advancement, and it's encouraging. She was released the 1st of January, so we're about a month into it, and I've seen a lot of progression. One thing she's still kind of behind on is conditioning. She hasn't had the time on the court or the practice time in preseason to get her legs underneath her and her lungs in shape. However, it's encouraging to see each game she's continuing to get better. So she's a force. If she can post up deep, catch the ball, turn and score, it's pretty difficult to stop her.
Again, our guest right now is Coach Lynn Tuttle of the Emory Lady Spartans as we preview tonight's contest. Emory getting set to take on the Carbon Lady Dinos this time at the Spartan Center. Coach, if we go back to that first meeting at Carbon High School, what a ball game it was. Carbon came out, really took it to you guys early on, and then things began to change. And we were just talking about Tatum a minute ago. She definitely played a role in that. Dacey was fantastic. She knocked down some big shots from beyond the arc. And, I mean, really, you guys played almost a perfect three quarters in that first game against Carbon.
We did play. We kind of showed up in the second quarter. Carbon was definitely ready. They were up for the game a little more than we were. We come out a little timid, a little flat. But, you know, then we kind of found our rhythm and groove in the second and played up to our capabilities. Tatum was a big lift in that game. She had 10 points, but what don't show up in the stat sheet is defensively how she can plug up the middle, kind of stop the offensive progression of the opposing team, kind of forces everything to take place outside.
What I mean, when you look at this Carbon team, Coach, they got pretty good guard play, young guard play. But it's been pretty good so far this year. You look at what they can do defensively. They can get after it. That's their identity. But really, the one player that has stood out to me all year long, it's been Maddie Orth. And the fact that she's just a freshman, she was dynamic in the first meeting between these two teams.
Yeah, she definitely stepped up big for Bianco. She's long, lanky, athletic, and she's getting to where she can shoot outside. She can take it down. She penetrates well. So she's been a pretty good attribute for the Carbon team this year. They use her well, too. They like putting the ball in her hands and letting her go. That's one thing that, you know, in preparation, hopefully we can counteract that a little bit and slow her down some tonight. She shoots extremely well from the free throw line. She probably shot 90% plus in that first meeting from the free throw line against us. So we got to try to keep her off the free throw line.
Now, Coach, when you go back and you look at that tape, what was the biggest change in your mind as far as maybe an adjustment that you guys made to get out of that double-digit deficit in that first quarter?
Defensively, I feel like my team, we like to pride ourselves in defense. And once we get it going defensively, it seems like our offense just kind of follows. And then moving the ball, you know, they've got an active zone. They always get hands in the passing lane and stuff, and we just needed to make that one extra pass, whether it was to the corner or back up to the wing, to get the open opportunity. And then when we did get the opportunity, we had some girls knock down the shots when it was needed.
Coach, now that we get down to the final three games of the regular season, is there anything that you still feel that this team needs to improve upon as you guys head down into the final stretch of what could be the final six or seven games of the season?
We're doing pretty good in most aspects of the game, especially with turnovers the last several games. You know, we only had four against San Juan, and we like to push. We like the up-tempo, so we're always pushing the ball. So if you can come out of a ball game with less than five turnovers, we come out with four. That's a good sign. I still think, you know, we're going to continue to concentrate on defense, pressure the ball, and then get girls in the passing lanes. I feel like you don't let a girl sit there and study the floor and what situation is happening, they can't find the open player. So I kind of like where we're at. We're limiting the turnovers, shooting the ball well, have different girls stepping up each and every night. So moving forward, you know what? I think we'll just continue to concentrate on defense. Offense will struggle at times. Hopefully you can find it at some point in the game, but defensively you should never struggle in that aspect of the game.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned, you know, defense and turnovers, Coach. It's sometimes I wonder if when I'm breaking down and looking at preparation for games, maybe I make it too difficult myself. I'm sure it's probably the same thing from a coaching staff. Not turning the basketball over and putting out effort in defense is pretty basic. You don't have to be a guru for those aspects of the game.
No, you don't. It's easy fundamentals and take care of your personal responsibility, and if you got five players out there doing that, everything will fall in line. It should.
Yeah, it's a difficult four-game stretch, actually, for this team. I mean, we're talking about, since the loss, a Richfield contest, San Juan, Carbon, and then South Sevier. Again, three games left in the regular season. Coach, you don't want to look ahead to next Tuesday, but if you get a win over Carbon, you really control your own destiny for that Region 12 championship and also that number one seed in the RPI. It's a great spot to be in.
Yeah, we do. If we can take care of tonight, and we got a great chance to do so, then they come in our place Tuesday night. We didn't play our best ball game against them over there. It's nice to have them at home here, and we'll be in a great position if we can get through this game tonight with a win and matching up with them. They've still got to get through Richfield also, and I still believe Richfield's a great team. They aren't playing up to probably their capabilities. That's something that can happen, though, is they've got to go to South Sevier, but Richfield could easily get South Sevier on their home court.
Well, Coach, I definitely appreciate you taking out the time. It's always a pleasure to talk some Lady Spartan basketball. I look forward to seeing you at the game tonight again. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jordan. Appreciate you.
We're going to break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. It's right here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Now, more Drive Time Sports on KOAL, 107.3 FM and 750 AM, the play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
We know that the Los Angeles Rams have their quarterback. We know the Detroit Lions have theirs. We don't know what's going to happen in Minnesota or Houston. I think there's still a number of teams. We just don't know what's going to happen with their quarterback situation. I do believe that one of the biggest storylines that we're really not talking about is Dak Prescott and what's going to happen to Dak in Dallas. Now, the Cowboys are not going to let this guy go. Can't stress that enough. He's under team control at least for another year. So we do know that Dak is going to be the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. But if you are a Dallas fan, you got to be frustrated by the fact that this guy's not signed long-term yet. And there was a back and forth over 4 years or 5 years. And if the last week has taught us anything in the NFL, it's that you need a quarterback. You have teams giving up multiple first-round draft picks to upgrade at that position. And the Cowboys don't have to worry about that because, well, they have a pretty good quarterback in Dak Prescott. Yesterday, Carson Palmer weighed in on this. And he said, quote, "I think he shouldn't shoot for the moon on his next contract. Being the Dallas Cowboy quarterback, there's a lot that comes with that financially. So you don't have to be the top paid quarterback in the league." And the quote's real long. I'm going to stop right there because Carson Palmer just got obliterated on Twitter. And Twitter is the place of so many trolls. And typically, all Twitter is going to side with an athlete because then they can at that athlete. And I think all these trolls hope and pray that they get a like from the athlete that they at. And so, of course, everyone's piling on Carson Palmer. You got to jump to the defense of Dak Prescott. And let's be honest, is Carson Palmer wrong in what he said? No. It actually makes quite a bit of sense when you take it in context. And so I don't understand why everyone was freaking out on Carson Palmer. He spoke the truth. You see, there's being the quarterback of the Cincinnati Bengals, and then there's being the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. Okay? There's the quarterback of the Buffalo Bills, and that's Josh Allen, but then there's the quarterback of America's team. That's the Dallas Cowboys. Okay, they are still a brand globally. It's not just a brand inside the state of Texas. It's not just a brand inside the United States of America. I'm telling you right now, outside of this country, the NFL is not huge. But if you talk to people and you ask them to name three football teams, three NFL teams, they'll name the Cowboys, Steelers, and Raiders. They will. Let's just be factual. And all Carson Palmer is saying, if you want to win in Dallas, if you win in Dallas, for one, you are going to be revered as a legend forever. And you're going to have opportunities once the game is done. Look at the players that did not win in Dallas. Jason Witten. Things worked out just fine for Jason Witten, didn't they? He was in the broadcast booth. He managed to come back. He got to play for the Raiders. What about Tony Romo? Things have gone splendidly for Tony Romo. The guy never won anything. I think Tony Romo was a good quarterback. But you know what he had behind him? He had the Dallas Cowboy brand. Nothing Carson Palmer said was out of line. Nothing. And I think you go back over the last few Super Bowl champions. I mean, just take a look at it. Patrick Mahomes last year, that was before he had signed a $500 million contract with the Kansas City Chiefs. Wait until next year or the year after when that contract really starts kicking in. Chiefs front office is going to have to get extremely creative. Okay, so he was still on a very modest contract last year when Kansas City won the Super Bowl. Year before that, it was Tom Brady. The guy was constantly restructuring his contract. Wasn't the highest paid quarterback in the game. Constantly restructuring his quarterback. They win the Super Bowl. You go back to when Philadelphia won it. Carson Wentz was on a rookie-scale contract. Nick Foles was a bargain-bin backup quarterback contract-wise in the NFL. They win a Super Bowl. So what Carson Palmer is trying to say is, if the Cowboys don't make you the highest-paid quarterback in the league, there's still a very good chance you're going to be the highest-paid quarterback in the league based off of the brand and the endorsements and the marketing and everything that comes with after retiring a Dallas Cowboy. Everything he said is absolutely correct. So let's look at the Dak Prescott salary. As it stands right now, well, everyone's waiting for just more clarity as far as 2021 is concerned. Everyone but the Rams, they're just going to continue to spend money. Lesney does not care. Stan Kroenke does not care. Right? His wife, part owner of Walmart. I don't think this guy cares about money. Cowboys, it's a different situation. For most teams in the NFL, it's a different situation. They want clarity on the 2021 cap. And because of that, it makes it very likely that they are going to move forward with a second franchise tag, which would make Dak, it put his tag at 37.7. And then maybe you could squirrel away some money, give him an extension next offseason. And the bottom line is, he's going to be the quarterback for the Cowboys next year because Dallas is not going to let him just walk away. They won't do that. They'd be foolish to. It's not going to happen. That's why the franchise tag is in place. Now, it is possible that the NFL will see a total cap at around $195 million as opposed to the $175 million floor that was set because of the pandemic. And so, while I can see this from both sides, I really can, I don't understand why Dallas has not wrapped this guy up yet. I don't quite get it. It's hard to find a quarterback in the NFL. It really is. And they have found one. Even though he's coming off a pretty brutal injury, it's not a torn Achilles. It's a broken ankle. They'll be just fine. I don't understand why Dallas is quibbling over 1 year. That does not make sense to me. In the same token, all that money that Dak is missing on that fourth year instead of the fifth year, he's going to make that up through plenty of other endorsements and marketing, being the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. And on top of everything else, if you win as a Dallas Cowboy quarterback, it's been a long time since the Cowboys have won a Super Bowl. You know what you don't want to do? You don't want to account for 35 to 40% of your team's cap. Because until a team wins with a quarterback accounting for 40% of their cap, it's not a recipe for success. It's not. And you can go ahead and continue to point out Patrick Mahomes, and you can tell me that the NFL salary cap is a myth. Fine arguments. But guess what? Until that extension for Mahomes kicks in, until someone with that big of a hit at quarterback wins a Super Bowl, I have plenty of more theories on my side saying that's not how you win. It's just not. I mean, Tom Brady was in a constant restructure mode with the New England Patriots. He was never the highest paid quarterback in the game. Was not ever the case. Wasn't. It helped. It helped a lot. I don't know why Carson Palmer was just getting destroyed. Now, Brett Favre made some comments about Deshaun Watson, saying that Deshaun Watson makes too much money to really speak up and have an opinion. That takes some guts, doesn't it? Coming from Brett Favre, the guy that requested a trade from the Packers after he retired, said he wanted to come back. They said, no, we got this kid named Aaron Rodgers. He's next in line. We're going to roll with him. Then he demands a trade. Then they ship him to New York. That's not where he wanted to be. He plays 1 year, he retires, then comes back and signs with the Vikings. This guy is going to give Deshaun Watson some sort of advice, telling him how he should handle the situation in Houston. Yeah, that's garbage. Carson Palmer didn't say anything wrong. Carson Palmer is 100% correct. We're going to break one more time. We'll come back. Prop bets in the NFL. What do we have coming up for Super Bowl 55? That's next, right after this.